Hello, folks. Good to be back with you again. Bright, sunshiny day out there. A little chilly, but it's okay. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, I praise you, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that this word gets out about deliverance is the children's bread. It's for us, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for anointing us to give this out and that it would help folks, Lord. I ask that you open up eyes to see and ears to hear the Word of God. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Well, that's kind of what I want to talk about today. It's deliverance is the children's bread. You know, over in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus was telling the story about the master that forgave his servants of that great debt, and then that servant went out and wouldn't forgive his fellow servant of a whole lot smaller debt. And of course, when the master found out, he called that servant in and told him that he would not forgive his fellow servant over the, and he'd turn him over to the tormentors until they would pay what was due. Let's go ahead and read that. That's in Matthew 18:21. Then came Peter and said to him, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times? And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king who would make a reckoning with his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him that owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not wherewith to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant, being moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out, found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 shillings, and he laid hold on him, took him by the throat, saying, Pay what thou owest. And so his fellow servant fell down and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay that which was due. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were exceeding sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord called him unto him, and saith to him, Thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou besoughtest me. Shouldest not thou also have had mercy on thy fellow servant, even as I had mercy on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due. So shall also my heavenly Father do unto you, if you forgive not every one of his brother from your hearts. You know, he's telling us here that the Father turns people over to the tormentor, because the Bible tells us that, and it consistently tells us God uses the demons for chastening. And when we want to take away a demon's authority, we need to make sure that our groundwork has been done in order to take away his authority, the demon's authority. You know, the Syrophoenician woman that brought her daughter to Jesus to be delivered and was grievously vexed with a demon. What did Jesus tell her? He said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs, in Matthew 15:26. So it's the children's bread. Deliverance is the children's bread, he tells us. And people who think they can go out there and just cast demons out of any lost person don't know much about deliverance. In the first place, it's a dangerous thing to do. It's called the children's bread because we're the ones that are in covenant with God. And the covenant being deliverance from the curse of sin and death. That's our covenant. We have a right to total deliverance. And we have a right to total deliverance from the bondage of the flesh and from the bondage of demon spirits. We have that right. But that doesn't mean that we all going to get deliverance. But we have to do the right. We have to. We have that right to do it. And that right comes when we come into the knowledge and understanding of the promises. And we enter into those by faith. In Hebrews 4 and 3, the Bible says the works were finished from the foundation of the world. And the only thing that remains is for us to enter into those works. How? Through faith. And the Bible says the word did not profit them, talking about the Jews, because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard. Hebrews 4 and 2. For indeed we have had good tidings preached unto us, even as also they, but the word of hearing did not profit them, because it was not united by faith with them that heard. So you see, when they were supposed to conquer their promised land, all they had to do was do what Joshua and Caleb did. And that was to believe the word of God. The 10 spies that came back and didn't believe the word of God, because they only believed what they saw with their natural eyes, and they only believed what they felt and what they heard, and that's what they confessed. Those didn't get to enter into the promised land. And they didn't get to enter into the promised land because they brought back that bad report and they caused the people's hearts to melt. Numbers 13:25. And they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Howbeit the people that dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Amalek dwelleth in the land of the south, and the Hittite and the Jebusite and the Amorite dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanite dwelleth by the sea and along by the side of the Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had spied out unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come of the Nephilim. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And in 14:1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. That is a type of the ministers today that don't believe that we can be holy and that we can overcome sin and the devil. God wants to lead us through our promised land one by one, to come against their enemies and to conquer them. And right here he's telling you that you don't have any authority to cast a demon out of a person who's full of bitterness or unforgiveness or anger and resentment. Listen, you're going to waste a lot of breath trying to deliver those people that do have that unforgiveness, anger, and resentment. It didn't start there. And you don't know who these tormentors are. You just know that they are demons. They can be any type of demon. They could be a demon of a spiritual infirmity, or they could be unclean spirits. And the biggest help that you're going to have in the deliverance ministry is, first of all, to understand that God has given us the Holy Spirit to walk after. And a person who is not filled with the Holy Spirit ain't got a bit of business in the deliverance ministry than anything. And back in those days, disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they hunted down other disciples and made sure that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 19:1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus and found certain disciples. And he said unto them, Did ye receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said unto him, Nay, we did not so much as hear whether the Holy Spirit was given. And he said, Into what then were ye baptized? And they said, Into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, that they should come after him, that is, on Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. The Spirit is God's authority to know what's going on in people. We are to live under the law of the Spirit. And the reason that law was given in the Old Testament, which is only a bunch of rules and regulations, was because they didn't have the Spirit of God with them. They didn't know what to do when they got into all of those various different types of situations. But in the New Testament, we got the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us in the ministry of deliverance. And also from the lust of the flesh and the demons that rule over the lust of the flesh. You know, in my experience, the most common reason that people don't get delivered from demons is because they're not right with their brother. They got unforgiveness. Jesus mentioned that very often. He mentioned in Matthew chapter 5 about being right with your brother before you bring your gifts before the altar. Or he'd turn you over to the jailer, and the jailer would throw you into prison. Well, who's the jailer? That's the devil. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 says, If therefore thou art offering thy gift at the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art with him in the way, lest happily the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 61 that Jesus came to set the captives free. And captive is what we were, but that's not what we're supposed to be. That's what we were back then. We were captive to the lusts of the flesh and captive to the enemy, the devil, and we were in prison. And there was no hope without God. And Jesus quoted from this in Isaiah 61, and he also quoted this from Luke chapter 4. Isaiah 6:1 says, The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. That liberty has been proclaimed. Liberty to the captives has been proclaimed. And the fact that not everybody is entering into that ain't got nothing to do with it. The liberty has already been proclaimed. Our job as ministers of reconciliation is to minister the same thing that Jesus ministered, and that is to proclaim the liberty that was given to us at the cross. And what is that? That's deliverance from the bondage of flesh, from the demons that also rule over the flesh. He said to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. Now, he didn't quote that last part. He only quoted half of that verse because this was the day he was in. And that's the day of the Lord's favor. But how many of you know we're quickly coming to the day of vengeance of our God? Right now, while grace is being offered and liberty to the captives is being offered, we can enter into as much of it as we want by humbling ourselves to the Word. The Bible says in Revelation 22:18, it says, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city which are written in this book. And it ain't going to be a thing you can do about it. If a person that you seek to minister deliverance to is adding to the word and he's taken away from the word, and you think that you're going to deliver him from the curse, that ain't true. First of all, if you read Deuteronomy 28, it wasn't the devil who put the curse on this earth, it was God. You can go back and read it yourself. God sent the curse because of rebellion. And God sent the curse, and that curse was supposed to motivate us to run to the cross. And that's what it was designed to do, to make us run to Jesus. I tell you the truth, he's the only one that's got the antidote for that curse. He's got the pill for that curse, praise God. And I know the world deceives us and it talks us into things. They think that they can solve our curse for us, don't they? But it ain't possible. They just shove it around and don't solve anything. They're seeing it now. All of the diseases that they thought they had wiped out, every one of them's coming back. And they're coming back stronger than they ever were. And that's because of man's intervention. They are coming back stronger than they ever were. And they have nothing on the horizon or in the future to take care of these diseases. And they're pretty fearful about it too. You know what? You can't destroy a curse that God's put there. But God is so merciful that he sent the curse to turn us away from the wrath of hell. And he sent Jesus Christ to deliver us from that curse when we repent. And when you want to deliver somebody who has not repented, it's a problem. Listen, I've tried it and I know. It's a waste of breath and it's a waste of time and it's dangerous. And that devil will sit there and laugh at you. When you got people that haven't repented, it don't make a bit of difference that they call themselves a Christian. It don't make any difference. Deliverance from the curse comes by repentance, faith, and obedience. And there ain't no way you can get around that. Jesus said, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Matthew 28:18. And that don't leave nothing for the devil if it's not given to him. Jesus delegates authority to us. He said in Matthew 18:18, he said, verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That is what delegating authority is, and that delegated it to us. How does the devil get his authority? From us. When we give the devil authority by walking out from under the blood, and in the flesh, and in submission to the demon spirits, he's got that authority. And we can't take it away. The only way to take away his authority is repentance. And the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, turned a man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 5:5. Listen, ain't no way you can get around that. If you came up to that man after Paul turned him over to the devil, and you thought that you were going to cast all them demons out of him, you're going to be deceived. Those demons will play with you. And they'll act like they're gone sometimes. You know what? Sometimes they'll even come out, but they won't be gone for long. They'll go out there and do a wheelie and come right on back. When you turn your head, they're right back in there. And then you can even ask them, what y'all doing back in there? You know what they'll tell you? We got a right to be here. And they want us to be here, is what they'll tell you. We got a right to be here. I've seen that happen a number of times. They have a right, and they know when they have a right, and they'll just deceive you, and they'll play with you the whole time, and all you're going to be doing is wasting your time. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is just as much as for all of us. He said, if you want deliverance from any demon bondage, And that what I'm calling a demon bondage is something that is beyond your flesh. Now, flesh can be dealt with by repentance and faith. But sometimes you find you exercise repentance and faith, and there is a compelling bondage there that goes beyond that if you're not being successful. It's something. It's an urge to do it whether you want to or not. That's a demon spirit in most cases. But it's still repentance and faith that gets rid of the bondage of a demon spirit. But you got to take away that stink first. Those flies come to the stink. And as long as you got that stink, the flies are going to come. They got a right to come. If you repent of the stink and you get rid of the stink, the flies are not going to come, are they? Most deliverances happens when people don't have the foggiest idea that they have ever been delivered of anything. You know, most of the time deliverance happens when people get saved. And it's by the depth of their commitment to Christ are they delivered of the lot of all the demon spirits. If you commit your heart all the way, most of the time you get completely delivered. You know, that man that Paul turned over to Satan, you know, he was a Christian. What was it that caused him to be delivered over to Satan? It was his lust of the flesh. You're protected if you walk under the blood of Jesus. But you got to know that willful disobedience is not under the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:26, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries." Tormentors can do that. Them demons can do that. They can bring forth sickness, and on and on and on. They can bring all kinds of torment to you. Now let me ask you this. Who was Jesus casting demons out of? What did Jesus say? "I was not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That was God's covenant people. And he was casting the demons out of them. It wasn't the Canaanites who lived around them. It was the Israelites. The people who had God's covenant promise. He cast the demons out of the Israelites. Now let's go over something else here while we're here. Jesus said that casting out demons is for God's children. In other words, Jesus cast demons out of God's people. Matthew 15:26, "And he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." He didn't cast demons out of the world. You know what the Bible says is going to happen if you cast demons out of the world? They're going to come back 7 times worse. That's what it says, Matthew 12:43. "But the unclean spirit, when he is gone out of the man, passeth through waterless places, seeking rest, and findeth it not. Then he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh with himself 7 other spirits more evil than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man becometh worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this evil generation." So deliverance is the children's bread. In other words, it's what God has provided for his children. Why is that? Because they are in covenant. The world ain't in covenant with God. They have no right to deliverance, to healing, to the promises of the covenant. They don't have a bit of right in the world. It's the children of God that have that right to deliverance and healing and all the blessings of the New Testament. So if it is the children's bread, then it's not given to the world. It just so happened that that Syrophoenician woman, because of expressing her great faith, and Jesus was taken back by her faith, he counted her as a believer. Praise God. And obviously he was right on the edge of a new covenant. He counted her as a believer and he gave her what she asked for. In Mark chapter 7, verse 27, she wanted that demon out of her daughter. And he said, let the children first be filled, for it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. That's pretty clear, isn't it? And that was the only people Jesus was casting demons out of. That was the covenant people, his people. The Bible says in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You see, he's given us a condition there. The condition is believing. The condition to the deliverance of the gospel, the healing of the gospel, the soul salvation of the gospel, that condition is believing. Does God ever cast a demon out of somebody that don't believe? Well, yeah, he does it. But it is in a condition that they later believe, just like the demoniac did. Y'all remember that? That demoniac was so far gone, you couldn't expect that man to make a rational decision on his own. And Jesus cast the demons out of him, knowing what kind of decision he was going to make after he did. Sometimes God does do that. He don't have to, but he can, and he does. But in most cases, it takes repentance and belief in order to get that deliverance. Over in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16, and when even was come, they brought unto him many possessed with demons. And he cast out the spirits with a word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our diseases. Well, who's that hour there? Well, it was the Christians who spoke and wrote that. Jesus took the curse from all of us. He only took the curse from the people that ultimately believed him. Did he bear the curse for the world? Yeah. But it is to whosoever will. The Bible says, no man can come to me except the Father that sent me draw him. The elect will. That's clear. The elect are those who were chosen before the foundation of the world. And that's what the Bible says, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love, having foreordained us unto adoption as sons through Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, making known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure which he purposed in him, and unto a dispensation of the fullness of the time, to sum up all things in Christ, the things in the heavens and the things upon the earth. In him, I say, in whom also we were made a heritage, having been foreordained according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we should be unto the praise of his glory, we who had before hoped in Christ, in whom ye also, having heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, having also believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is an earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of God's own possession, unto the praise of his glory. And they are going to be standing at the end of this thing. But many of the called are not, but the elect's going to be standing. They're going to be standing at the end of this thing, and they will have gotten their total deliverance. They're going to have they're going to have what Jesus was talking about right here. The elect, or the chosen, are those who bear fruit. It says in Matthew 22:14, it says, many are called, but few chosen. And the word chosen here is the same word for elect, and it's called eklektos. It's the same word. So many are called. See, God called the Israelites out of Egypt, didn't he? He said, out of Egypt did I call my son, Matthew 2:15. He said in Jude 1:5, now I desire to put you in remembrance, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, having saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. So calling is not election. Calling is on the way to election. You know what calling means? It just means an invitation. It's an invitation. Jesus has invited us to partake of the body and the blood of Christ. And if we do that, we're going to bear fruit. And we won't have any problem bearing fruit if we do that. Now the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now here's the question he was asking. How can a Christian have a demon and yet have the Holy Spirit? Well, I'm going to show you that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, or know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which ye have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Glorify God therefore in your body. The body is a temple. That's what it says in the old manuscripts. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because the temple was a threefold temple. It had an outer court, it had a holy place, and then it had the Holy of Holies. You know what the outer court was called? It was called the court of the Gentiles. Were the Gentiles holy? No, they wasn't holy. If anybody came into the Holy of Holies, they were struck dead. No evil could go into the Holy of Holies because that was the only place of the high priest. This is where the high priest dwells in us. That's the Holy of Holies. That is your spirit. And that demons can't enter into the spirit. The demons go into the flesh, and that's in the outer court. And we got proof from all the examples of the Old Testament that evil people came into the outer court. They even laid hands on the horns of the altar for mercy. Sometimes they found mercy, sometimes they didn't. But the point is, evil could come into the outer court, but it couldn't come into the Holy of Holies. There's a lot of people out there that think that the Spirit of God will not dwell in an unclean temple. But if you're talking about the flesh, it's unclean. The Bible says the flesh is unclean, and it's the enemy of God, it says. Romans 8:6, for the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The Bible calls the flesh the enemy of God, and it's unclean. In fact, when it talks about the lust of the flesh, they got those lusts have the same nature as the demons do. That flesh is unclean, and it ain't going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So, the Holy Spirit's not dwelling in an unclean temple when he dwells in your spirit, because your spirit is clean. He's given you a new spirit before he can even come and dwell. You have to be born again before he can come and dwell in that spirit. Galatians 4:6 says, and because ye are sons, God sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And the thing about the demons is that the demons come into the flesh with the desire of possessing your soul. And the Lord comes into your spirit with the desire of possessing your soul. And that warfare is between the flesh and the demon spirits. The flesh and the Holy Spirit that's inside of you. God and demons to possess the soul. Why? Your soul is your mind, your character, and your nature. We've been lied to about this possession and oppression. And what this oppression or possession is, that possession is when the demon is reaching out of the flesh and into the soul and taking control of the mind and the actions and the character of the person. You ever seen a schizophrenic person? One moment they're giving in to the lust of the flesh, and then the next minute they straighten up. Is he possessed or not? Well, they're possessed when that happens, and they're not when the demons back off. You know what? That demon is still there. He ain't gone anywhere. He just backs out of the soul into the flesh, and he's dormant. And he sits there. He's waiting till the next time that he wants to take control. Well, the Holy Spirit's the same way. Think about this now. Just because you have the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that you're being led by the Holy Spirit. Having the Holy Spirit is not even going to save you. Did you know that? Here's what saves you. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God, Romans 8:14. In other words, you can have it and not be led by it. And that's the same thing with demons. You can have them, but they're not in control. So what we desire is to give possession of this land to the spiritual man, right? And God, through the Spirit, gives us the power through the spiritual man to possess our soul. You know what? When you walk after the flesh, the Bible says you got to die. It says in Romans 8:13, for if ye live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. When you walk after the flesh, you permit the devil power to reach right into your soul and to take control of your thinking, all your actions, your nature, and your character. In the world, they call that schizophrenia, but it's just demon possession. There ain't no two ways around it. There's only one nature in you. There ain't no split nature or two natures. There's only one nature that's you. And the devil likes to come into Christians, and he likes to deceive them into thinking that it's their own nature. And the best thing that the devil and demons like to do is to enter into Christian, because they give themselves unto the lust of the flesh is the reason they come in. And then the demons rule them by speaking in their minds, and they blend into their character so that they don't even know that it's the devil. They think it's themselves. And by the authority of God, demons are forced to manifest themselves. Some of you have seen that. And some of you have seen the gospel being preached and demons manifesting in Christians. They were forced to manifest because they hate the gospel. They hate that gospel. They hate tongues. They hate the blood of Jesus. They hate all the things that are godly. And if you learn what the things they are that they hate, that's your best weapons right there. And some of you are going to find that out. Some of you have already found out that these demons can hide in you pretty good and make you think that their thinking is your thinking. And that it's just you, these thoughts that are coming through your mind, and maybe it's coming by your flesh, these thoughts are coming into your mind. But when they're forced to manifest, you know it's a demon. And you can get into a circumstance or situation where the Word of God is tormenting these demons, and they'll manifest. That's what happened in Jesus' presence. The Word of God forced them to manifest. And if you've got a person who is repentant, and you command these demons to give their name and to manifest in some way, they're going to do it. they will do it because they have never been commanded to do this before. If they have never been commanded to do this, you may never actually feel the presence of them. But when they are commanded to do that, they're going to speak out of that person. And they'll give their name. They might even argue with you. And for sure they're going to lie to you. They're going to do everything that demons do. And did you know that you can deliver yourself? Because we have been given authority to deliver ourselves. Look in 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, most time it's helpful to have other people, but you can deliver yourself. And if you've got a suspicion that something's more than just flesh, try it. Exercise your authority and command that demon to come out. And sometimes they'll speak in your mind, and you'll get their names in your mind. And sometimes they'll come right out of your mouth. And any kind of a compelling desire, a strong compelling desire, I might add, most of the time it's a demon, and it ain't the flesh. Now, the devil wants you to think it's the flesh, but he's a liar, isn't he? That's a demon. Now, we are in the process of being delivered. That's what sanctification is. Sanctification is the process of delivering you of two things, defilement of flesh and spirit. Now, stop and think just a moment. We saw over in 2 Corinthians 7:1, is your spirit defiled? If it is, you're not a Christian. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell in a new clean spirit, and that's called the Spirit of Christ in you. Galatians 4:6 says, and because ye are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. This is a Christian. And God says in Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. So you see, you don't have a defiled spirit. And so, why does the scripture say, talking to Christians here, having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit. Because the defilement of spirit he's talking about here is the defilement of you by spirits. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about the defilement of your spirit, because your spirit's not defiled. Your spirit's the only part of you that's totally white and clean. And if it ain't, you're not a Christian. That simple. So the defilement that we have authority to get rid of is the defilement of your soul by the flesh, because the word is yourself. You know what yourself is in the Bible? It's a synonymous term for soul. In other words, it's a synonym of soul. In one gospel, it might say self. And in another gospel, it might say soul. That proves that self and soul are the same. We want to be delivered of all defilement of our soul by both flesh and spirit. You don't have anything to do with glorifying God in your spirit. That was already accomplished by Jesus Christ. But you do have something to do with glorifying God in your body. And that's why he put that authority upon us in Colossians 3:5. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience, wherein ye also once walked when ye lived in these things. But now do ye also put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking, out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his doings, and have put on the new man, that is, being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him. And the Bible says in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. That word place means an area or a region, a geographic area. And it says, neither give place to the devil. That's the exact thing God talked about when he was cleansing the promised land from the Hittites and the Girgashites and all them Hittite boys. Deuteronomy 7:1, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and shall cast out many nations before thee, the Hittite, and the Girgashite, and the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. When he was cleansing them, he told them, he said, don't leave any place where these people still live in your land, because they will make you sin. Get rid of all of them, what he told them. Then verse 2, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them up before thee, and thou shalt smite them, then thou shalt utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For he will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and he will destroy thee quickly. Every one of them ites had gods. What God is talking about is, if you leave a place for the lust of the flesh to live in your land, you are going to sin. You're to give them no place for the lust of the flesh, is what it says. And in Luke 13, it speaks of a woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. And when Jesus delivered that woman, he said in Luke 13:16, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, to have been loosed from this bond on the day of the Sabbath? A daughter of Abraham. Well, some of you sitting out there thinking, well, he ain't talking about nothing but the Jews. No, Jesus never called the Jews the daughters and sons of Abraham. Look in John 8. These were the people who confessed to be sons of Abraham. But Jesus, what did he do? He disagreed with them. Because a daughter of Abraham is somebody who is truly in covenant with God. And here we got these Jewish leaders and their followers who thought that they were the sons and daughters of Abraham. But Jesus said, no, you ain't. He called that woman a daughter of Abraham. Verse 38, I speak the things which I have seen with my father, and ye also do the things which ye heard from your father. They answered and said unto him, our father is Abraham. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Whoa, man, that stopped him right there. You'd do the works of Abraham. Verse 40, but now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I heard from God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the works of your father. They said unto him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came forth and am come from God. For neither have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father it is your will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and standeth not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father thereof. Boy, that was something, wasn't it? Paul said in Galatians chapter 3 that the people who walk by faith are the sons of Abraham. Galatians 3 and 7. Know therefore that they that are of faith, the same are sons of Abraham. And Jesus didn't disagree with that ever, did he? That woman got her deliverance because she was a daughter of Abraham. And the people who were coming to Jesus were covenant people, just like we're covenant people. They had the right of the covenant. They got the healing. They got their deliverance from God. And they had a right to that. The world doesn't have a right to it. They don't have any right to it. You're casting the children's bread to the dogs when you try to give deliverance to an unrepentant person. If you're trying to give deliverance to a Christian who is unrepentant, you're going to have the same problem. The overcomers are the ones who truly belong to Christ. They are the ones who are proven to be the elect of God. And we can prove ourselves just as much as the sons of the devil by our actions as these people prove themselves sons of the devil by their actions. And Jesus pointed out to him, no, if you were of your father Abraham, you'd do the works of Abraham. So we're all proving ourselves in this trial that we have in the wilderness that we're going through to either be sons of Abraham or to be sons of the devil. The Bible says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked, 1 John 2 and 6. And it says in 2 Corinthians 11 and 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve in his craftiness, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity and the purity that is toward Christ. Now, the word yours means, of course, the Christians, because it's Christians that are being talked to here. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we did not preach, or if ye receive a different spirit, which ye did not receive, or a different gospel, which ye did not accept, you see that? You do well to bear with him. So you can be perverted and corrupted in your mind after listening to a false gospel and receiving a false spirit. There are spirits of religion, and their job is to keep people in bondage to religion. That's their job. And if the devil can't keep you from Jesus at all, what he's going to do is put you in bondage to religion. And when you get in bondage to religion, you ain't going to accept all of what the Word says. Because religion only accepts little bits and pieces of here of the Word. And every one of the religions do that. And if you're not in bondage to believe what they say you must believe, and you get into the Scripture, seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling, then you can believe all of the Word. And that's the point. God doesn't want us separated from the truth by this false religions. Religion is a trial to see if you're going to overcome it. Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You mean the Holy Spirit led him in there? Yep, that's right. Matthew 4 and 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And it's the Spirit's purpose for you to be tempted of the devil, to see who are all of those overcomers and who the chosen are. Who are the true believers? When he led them into the wilderness, he found out real quick who those true believers were. That were the ones who confessed the Word of God. Because we're in the wilderness experience now to find out and to prove who the true believers are. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1 and 10, wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never stumble. For thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You mean to tell me we're entering into the kingdom as we overcome? That's what the Bible said. You're entering into God's kingdom as you overcome. Your spirit entered into the kingdom when you stepped across that line and you proclaimed yourself as saved by faith through the grace of Jesus Christ. Your spirit entered across, and now your soul is entering across through your obedience to the truth. Jesus said, He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives. And He also said, if you don't make things right with your brother in the way, that you'd be thrown back into prison until you paid that debt out. Matthew 5:23, if therefore thou art offering thy gift at the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art with him in the way, lest happily the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou have paid the last farthing. Now we saw that back in Matthew 18. He said, you would be delivered to the tormentors until you pay all that was due, which is what? Your sins. And if a person doesn't forgive, they're not forgiven. It says in Matthew 6:15, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Can you be saved and not be forgiven? No, ain't going to happen. You can't be saved and not be forgiven. And the most dangerous sin, in my estimation, is unforgiveness, because it opened up a trap to demons. When Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness, who was he going to be tempted by? That was the devil. So don't think you're not going to be faced with demons. You're going to be faced with demons. And if you're in the wilderness, you're going to see them demons. And you got every right and every power from God to overcome every one of them. And folks, I adjure you to take that authority and come against them and clean up this flesh from each one of us. Well, I'm out of time, folks. God bless you, and I hope this has helped you. And we'll see you next time, God willing.